Behold the bounty of God's blessings. Good morning, Trinity. Welcome to Easter, the fourth Sunday of Easter. So glad you're here today. Pastor Tom's preaching, and we're going to spend some time in Psalm 23. We're also going to have some hymns and songs that have that relate to Earth Day and all of that that's coming tomorrow, that whole nature thing. So this next song in this prelude is part of that creation care, God's wonderful bounty, and that kind of theme. So as rivers flow from a distant spring, a new, relatively new hymn, welcome to Trinity. Glad you're here. As rivers flow from a distant spring to quench our thirst and feed the earth, so let our lives flow from you, our source, to counter death and nurture birth. As trees rise up from the forest floor, by roots that feed each limb above, so let our lives rise in praise to you from hearts we root in your deep love. As woods make shelter within its shade for beasts to feed and birds to nest, so let our lives be a sheltered space, a refuge for the worn to rest. So let us praise you, Creator God, for worlds that witness to your care, that show your presence in every place, your glory shining everywhere.
Yes.
You're not.
They're waving at me.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yes.
Good morning. Thank you to the choir for being here. Thank you to Alder Gill for being here. All those online, we're trying again. This is live church. The service is printed before you on the bulletin. Everything will be projected for you as well. And so I'll say to you, here and far away, let us go now to the banquet, our gathering hymn, drawing us forth to that table. If it's comfortable, I'd invite you to stand. Gather together in God's house, we worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go now to the banquet.
Bye.
the Kyrie. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy on us. Sing through it twice. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the dawn of a new day. We give you thanks for springtime in the Northwest and for the blessings too easily taken for granted. Send your Holy Spirit that we may experience joy in our worship, that our prayers would be sincere, that fed and forgiven by the gifts of bread and wine, we might be strengthened for service in the world. We pray in the name of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The reading this morning is one that many know, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
notice when Dana was reading the psalm, there was this pastoral scene. It's my memories of Ireland, the rolling hills, what life in the valley was like. And so the piece of music could not have been more perfect in my heart and mind connecting those pieces. So thank you very much. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good. Amen. God is good. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, a place that reeks for the potential of death, I will not be afraid because you are close beside me. That's gospel. There is a reason why, besides a killer view, why the ancients built on the tops of mountains. So here's some examples. Check these out. Imagine what it'd be like to build a town, a city, a monastery, a place of retreat, hundreds of years old. Both Asian and Western religions would do this. They would build on the tops of the mountains. Even in our tradition, if you've ever been to Masada, it looks like this. And it's obvious, I know I'm really a little hot here, aren't I? A little loud. I'm trying to be quiet. I don't have a quiet voice. So it's obvious why people would live on the tops of mountains. Besides an obvious killer view, you do it for safety. And it's amazing how religions and townships would craft, and this is hundreds of years ago, stone in precarious places where they would reside, and they would call it home. And it's obvious why they would do it, because safety. No one sneaks up on you when you live on the top of a mountain. It is easy to defend oneself. It's a metaphor for our lives. There's a problem, though, with mountaintop living. Masada is a perfect example of it. While safe, it is sterile. Nothing grows on the tops of mountains. While safe, that's the reality. The 23rd Psalm beckons us into the valley where grass grows, life is verdant and abundant, but it's amongst the ambiguities of life, full of blessing but yet full of brokenness. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. The image is powerful. In the valley of the shadow of death, we are one with one arm. Our God holds back our enemies, and with the other arm feeds us as honored guests. It's a profound image that the ancients would understand. Thou preparest a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Not on mountaintops, the places that we go, but down into the valley. In today's gospel from John 10, Jesus is in conflict with the religious authorities over his healing of a man born blind. Keep the distinction. Not someone who lost their sight, but a man born blind. The temple is on the top of a mountain, Mount Zion. But it has become a sterile place, not of life, but of power. No difference than today. People find high places to claim power. For the religious authorities to acknowledge that Jesus had indeed healed a man born blind, that would be tantamount to embracing a faith that would risk a life of faith into the valley. But it means admitting then that Jesus had in fact come from God. And that was too much to ask for mountaintop dwellers. In one of the gospel's great confessions, the man who was born blind is being confronted by the religious authorities of the day. To those who are in defense of their mountaintop living, this man born blind declares, well, the Pharisees declare, there is no way this man could be from God. There is no way. And then he responds, this is remarkable. You don't know where he has come from, yet he opened my eyes. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And those words got him thrown off the mountain, that is, kicked out of the temple. So it is in that context we have our gospel for the day. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because he is a hired hand, does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is in this context that Jesus casts himself as the Good Shepherd. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep versus the hired hand who runs because the wolves have come and the sheep are scattered. This is Jesus as presents himself as the good shepherd versus the one who runs from danger and is concerned only for themselves. It is the good shepherd who now holds our best interest at heart. It is the good shepherd who offers life abundant, and it is the good shepherd who prepares a feast for us in the presence of our enemies. A few weeks ago, I was in conversation with a group of men from this church who were very intentional about their faith walk, their spiritual quest. I raised up with them a question that I believe is at the core of our faith and our life as a Christian, our walk and our experience, and how it speaks with today's gospel. Listen to this distinction. Try to hold it clearly. Are we fundamentally physical beings who have a spiritual affect, or are we fundamentally at our core spiritual beings who have a physical affect? Now, the distinction is profound. Are we at our core physical beings who have a variety of attributes, including a spiritual walk, some lesser, some greater? Or are we at our core a spiritual being that among its attributes has physical affect? Now, I suspect at first blush, most of us would claim the former. I mean, we're only too aware every day of our physical realities and the limitations. That's where we end up starting every day. Why do my pants not fit anymore? You know, is it wrong to do something about my second or third chin, you know, to tuck it up somewhere, hide it out of the way? Which supplements will help me keep my memory? And by the way, write them down for me. Maybe I could ask people to pray for me, because there's people at the church that believe in prayer. As a kind of a side note, when Brenda and I were being accused by our children of being terrible parents somewhere during teen years, I would respond to that by putting our whole family on the prayer chain. I would list us in the bulletin. We're bad parents. We need help. Pray for us. My kids got a little tired of that. Said, it's your choice. Well, such as it is with disease, aging bodies, and diminished capabilities, all summed by the mantra, the older I get, the better I was. In my family, we use laughter to hold off the limitations of our physical being. I came to believe that laughter is a spiritual gift. For me, if I have previously shared this story, you forgive me because I'm getting older and my memory's not good. If you have heard this, just be kind, okay? But I'll cut to the quick on it. I will spare you some of the details, but my father was in the last few weeks of his life. The current crisis would be solved once they loaded him with antibiotics, but in the meantime, he was incoherently thrashing about and inconsolable. And no one could talk to him. And to get his attention, what I did was I pounded on his chest really hard. He stopped and he looked at me and plaintively asked, Tom, what's happening? To which I said, well, Dad, you're trying to die. And the eyes rolled over to the side and he looked away. But then his countenance brightens and he turned to me and he said, well, how am I doing? To which I said, not very good. You've got to make up your mind. You're killing us. Strange thing to say to a dying loved one. If we begin from the position that we are fundamentally a spiritual being, we understand these human affects that we live in are typically good for 70 to 90 years, sometimes a little more, sometimes tragically far less. In my family, we have many examples of the far less. But yet Jesus beckons us to consider the promise of the abundant life. Jesus wants us, indeed, is willing to die for us, that a new kingdom will open before our very eyes. Jesus is the gatekeeper as well as the good shepherd. It is by his death on the cross that we are gifted with an insight to see the kingdom coming that is ours already now. The abundant life, the opening of our eyes, comes by way of our relationship with Jesus, this good shepherd. If Satan, writes C.S. Lewis, cannot bind us by our sin, he will bind us by the effect of our sin. Now, I hope that the first part is sorted out. You know that you cannot be bound by your sin. That's done. That's taken care of. That's old history. That's gone. That's not the issue anymore. But if Satan cannot bind us by our sin, he will bind us by the effect of our sin. Guilt and shame. Those elements that keep us from the abundant life. I have a vivid memory of a Roman Catholic nun who was in my Reformation class at the seminary. It was as if a light went on for her, and she shouted out, Christians should be the most freed up of all people. Truth. Being bound by guilt or shame diminishes our ability to live out the good news. Anyone who is dealing in fear with you, who is dealing in fear, is not dealing in the good news of the Good Shepherd. The glory of God is revealed in humankind fully alive. Jesus, our Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. For us, that becomes our gate. The abundant life comes less to us by physical sight and more to us by spiritual insight. Even though I walk through the valley of the darkest, through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. You prepare a banquet, a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely your goodness and love will pursue me. The kingdom is ours. Can you see it? God is good all the time.
God is good.
Stand for our hymn of the day.
Thank you.
lift our hearts now to God in prayer. Dana's going to lead us in the prayers. Each petition will end, Shepherd of the earth and all, in our response, hear us as we pray. Let us pray.
Knowing we are in the hands of a loving God, we bring our prayers today. Shepherding God, we hear your word of comfort and love, regather your flock, and bring us back when we have gone astray. Around the world or down the street, these days, and yes, always, provoke us with your love, we ask, be it gentle or a shove. Shepherd of all the earth and all,
yes, as we pray.
It is true, we know, all nature sings, but it is hard to catch the tune, as more and more we look away and learn to mask the damage that indifference and indulgence cause. Perhaps we now can manage just to heed the shepherd's call to hear us, to hear the eagle, the wolf, and the loon. Shepherd of the earth and all,
hear us as we pray.
Abiding God, sustain the ill, the dying, and the lost. Be with them in the valley as they hope and wait and pray. Your love has overcome the world. This gratefully we say. We know you know the hearts that ache, and know you know the cost. Shepherd of all the earth and all,
hear us as we pray.
Give all those charged with leading us a caring shepherd's heart. Let love and justice now pour forth an ever-flowing stream. We know abundant life for all is your constant holy dream. May we discover ways that we can truly play our part. Shepherd of the earth and all,
hear us as we pray.
And finally, the shepherd tries so gallantly to turn us, and sometimes we are just too slow or deaf to hear the way. But we give thanks for all the gifts we carry this fine day, and plead with you to guide us all to joy and into service. Shepherd of the earth and all,
hear us as we pray.
We, the flock that you have called, humbly release these prayers to you, our loving, guiding God. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of peace and greeting with one another. Thank you for sharing that greeting of peace. After the service, come right over in the gym for a time of coffee and cookies and fellowship together. Beautiful spring day outside. You can also go out in the courtyard. The doors are unlocked to the courtyard. Take your coffee out there and visit out in the sunshine if you'd like. Lots of announcements printed in your bulletin. We really encourage you to take note of all those things as they apply to you. Get involved. Ask questions at your church. So we'd encourage you to do that. We have a funeral service next Saturday for a member of our church for 55 years or more, Mary Thompson. There's a sign up in the narthex if you can help bake cookies for that or serve. That service is next Saturday morning or next Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock right here in the sanctuary as we celebrate Mary's life. Carl's got an announcement, I think, and then I'll call Deacon Amy.
We had a great concert last Wednesday with David Roth. It was wonderful and lots of fun. Our next concert offering is actually 2 weeks from today. Sheila and Troy Chapman. Troy was here last week with the Bell Choir and played lute. So they're going to be here in concert. 2 o'clock? 3 o'clock?
I think it might be 3 o'clock.
Who knows? On Sunday afternoon on the 5th of May. There we go.
All right. Good morning. Sunday Forum down the hall this morning at 9:30. We will be learning about the writings of N.T. Wright as he explores the letters of, Paul's letter to Philemon. So an interesting dive into the Bible this week with a video and then conversation after. So that's at 9:30, Fireside Room down the hall. Our youth groups continue. Our middle school kids meet on Sunday mornings. Yeah, they meet at Sunday morning starting at 11 o'clock with worship and then class and games afterwards. And our high school students meet on Wednesday evening. So new students are always welcome to join us for those fun things. And then coming up, last year we had such a fantastic night at our fundraiser. We decided to do it again. So coming up on Sunday, June 2nd, the afternoon at 4 o'clock, we'll have a dinner and an auction fundraiser. So this is to help our kids with all of their fun summer travels and adventures, helps keep it affordable for our families, and we're looking forward to a great night. So we're gathering items for the auction. If you have an item or a certificate or something that you think might go well at the auction, please come and see me, and we're looking forward to a great night. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. The flowers today, Lou Hartley, Lou. Thank you for the flowers. It's Lou's birthday this week too, and Doug Rohrbach's birthday this week, and Diane Anderson hasn't been back with us since November because she's been down, not feeling well, but we're so happy to welcome you home today, Diane. Anybody else have a birthday this week? Anybody else have a birthday this week? Okay, well, let's sing to the three of them, Doug and Diane and Lou. Chance we get, celebrate every chance we get. Communion, word about communion. You know the word probably. All are welcome, always. Not a Lutheran table, it's the Lord's table. No matter where you've been, no matter where your journey's taken you, no matter how long you've been away from the church, or if you've never worshiped with the Lutherans before, you're welcome at this table today and always, because the one and only host is Jesus. The ushers will help you to come down the center aisle to our little River Jordan there. You can hold out your hand by the baptismal font to receive the host. Hold on to it momentarily, and then you'll dip it and tinct it into the chalice of your choice. First chalice of wine, second chalice of grape juice. We also have gluten-free elements as well. As we transition to the table, if it's comfortable for you, I'd invite you to stand. We gather now at a table that welcomed our parents and grandparents, a table that will welcome Christians of a variety of colors and cultures and denominations across the world this day. As we do so, we remember a Thursday night in an upper room in Jerusalem. It was the night in which he was betrayed. And on this night, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Jesus Christ has promised to be present with us. Let us pray now as he taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
gifts of God, for the people of God, all are welcome. Please come. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in God's grace. Amen. Amen. Fed and forgiven. Fed and forgiven, go out those doors to make a difference in the world. Bloom where God put you this week in your places of ministry and service. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our sending song, God's Work, Our Hands.
It is a new set of lyrics for you, but it's the same tune for Earth and All Stars. So sing along.
The Lord.